7BR Part Heard.
Hello and welcome to 7BR's Part Heard. This week we're taking a bit of a break from our usual programming and running a back-to-school mini-series for prospective and incoming pupils. I'll be speaking to some of 7BR's juniors across civil, family and crime about their experiences of pupillage, the type of work that can be expected, and their advice for those starting out at the bar. Today I'm joined by Kate Temple-Mabe, who joined 7BR after the successful completion of her pupillage in October 2019. Kate, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks, Ellie. It's good to be here again.
So soon, a lot of people will be starting their first day of pupillage. Do you remember your first day at 7BR?
Yes, of course I do. I had been expecting to come into chambers and have a little induction and be walked around and shown to people. But the Sunday before, I got an email from my supervisor saying she'd had urgent instructions in the family court. And so off I went straight to court on my first day, which was a good way to get going.
Yeah, no messing around, straight in. Okay, so maybe you could talk a bit about the structure of pupillage at 7BR, being multidisciplinary as it is.
Yes. So the way it's structured here is there's three sort of seats, as it were, beginning with civil, and that can encompass any of the civil work that we do here, which is largely personal injury, clinical negligence. In my case, it involved a lot of family as well. And then the second 4 months is in criminal, and the third 4 months is in an area of your choosing. So you can either go back and revisit one of the areas you've already done, perhaps looking at a more niche subsection of that area, or you can do something you haven't had a chance to explore yet, like employment law, for example. And at some point in your pupillage, you will need to do 2 weeks worth of family work. Either that needs to be hived off and you go off with a different supervisor for that 2 weeks if your supervisors don't do that work, or as in my case, my civil supervisor did a lot of family as well. So I got that built in naturally and didn't have to make a special effort for it.
What did you do in your last 4 months then?
I did clinical negligence and personal injury, because I hadn't seen much of that in my civil set, because my civil section ended up being mostly family. So I did that in my third seat.
Okay, so when you were doing your civil seat, I suppose your third one as well, what were the most common sorts of hearings, I guess, in the first bit that you observed, and then in the third bit that you were acting in?
Yes. Well, I know I'm here to speak mainly about our civil practice, so I'll focus on that. So my first supervisor has a busy personal injury practice, specifically in historical allegations of sexual abuse. So I did a lot of work with her on some of those cases. And that was a specific area that she did work in. She didn't do a lot of other civil work, but that's an area that we have great expertise in chambers, in both the claimant and the defendant perspective. And so I got to go along to some conferences, which were very useful. I got to do some paperwork, and I got to get my head around some of the issues that arise, which are particular to those cases. My supervisor does mainly claimant work. So I watched her, for example, in conference with some lay clients, and that was very useful in seeing how one of those conferences can be managed. So that was quite a specific area that I concentrated on. And then in my third seat, obviously at this point I was doing my own work as well, because I was on my feet, so I was doing lots of other things. But in terms of supervised work in my third seat, I did more sort of run-of-the-mill personal injury work and clinical negligence work. My supervisor then did a lot of work in claims against the MOD, personal injury claims against the MOD. So I did a couple of those. And largely that, again, was a lot of sitting in on conferences and paperwork, less court work. But there's a certain sort of, I think, particular educational value to going along to a conference, because you can see not just the finished product, but the sort of behind the scenes work that's going on, the conversations between experts and between the solicitor and counsel and between the counsel and the lay client. And you can see all this sort of all these building blocks coming together in a way which, when you just rock up to a court hearing, you don't necessarily understand. So I actually found that conferences, going along to conferences, was a particularly educational aspect of my pupillage.
Are there any sort of top tips you have for people starting a civil pupillage or a pupillage that has a civil element? Are there things that you wish you knew or things that they don't tell you?
Well, I mean, everybody always says to you when you're starting out in civil that you need to get your head around costs, because actually costs are some of the, you know, that's one of the most important things. And it's not something that as an advocate or as somebody who's going to bar school, you're not necessarily dealing with that in the same way, perhaps, as somebody who's done the LPC or done a solicitor training course, because it's not something that you get a huge focus on in the BPTC, for example. So it's worth wrapping your head around the rules and trying to get to grips with costs, because that's something that comes up at the end of every hearing. And there are some complex rules in the civil procedure rules around the kinds of smaller cases that we do. So there's special fast track rules, and it's worth getting to grips with those so you're not thrown off guard at the end of a hearing in your second six.
And how has your pupillage prepared you for your practice now? What does your practice look like now? And is there sort of, do you see that kind of continuity of that civil part of your practice?
Yeah. So I am, as all of our new juniors are, working in all of our practice areas. So pupillage prepares you very well for that, because you do dip your toes into everything. And we here are expected to do that, to do a full mixed practice for a few years before sort of naturally or voluntarily starting to specialize in something. And that's very useful, because you get to stretch different muscles in different areas, and they actually assist one another in ways which you don't necessarily expect. You can't actually stick all of the law into different boxes. A lot of times they bleed into each other. In terms of the way that my civil pupillage prepared me for my civil work, it certainly did. I think that through working with my supervisors, I got introductions to solicitors who instruct them. Your pupillage experience naturally prepares you for your practice, not only in a sort of hypothetical way, but in the very real way that the kind of work you're exposed to in your pupillage puts you in a position to carry on with that kind of work in your practice. So you can really exploit the connections that you've made during pupillage and the experience you've gotten during pupillage, just being involved with certain kinds of cases through your supervisor. And you can use that as a platform to be involved in those sorts of cases in your own right going forward.
I guess one thing that I'm curious about is whether your pupillage ended up being how you expected or anticipated or imagined.
Well, I think no one ever really knows what to expect with the pupillage. It's the real unknown in a lot of ways, because it's unlike starting a new job. It's unlike studying. It's kind of a strange sort of combination of the two. But I found that my pupillage here was much less scary than I'd worried. And perhaps that's the environment here. But I didn't find it. There's a sort of a stereotype about it being, you know, you're this little pupil at the beck and call of your maniacal supervisor, and you're having to, you know, run around doing crazy amounts of printing or something, and making personal errands and being told off for things. And it just wasn't like that at all. Not at all. I mean, everyone here was very warm and welcoming and really treated me as a colleague, as well as as a trainee. So I certainly didn't feel exploited. I certainly didn't feel frightened. There's a lot of pressure, but it's a healthy level of pressure, and it doesn't seem egregious. It doesn't seem like people are just testing you. So I think I would say, you know, don't be too worried about it. It can seem terrifying in theory, but really you're here to learn, and you're here too to see if this is the right job for you and the right chambers for you. So, you know, use it as a learning opportunity and as a development opportunity, and rather than being frightened of it, I think would be my top tip.
So you don't just have to carry your supervisor's wig around all the time.
No one ever made me carry their wig.
Good to know. All right, Kate, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Ellie.
Thank you for listening to this episode of 7BR's Part Heard. To listen to another of Kate's podcast episodes in which she discusses her experiences of remote hearings, please visit our website.